Do you know that we have hope today?
Amen.
Hope. The enemy wants us to think that there is no hope. But the God that we serve has promised us hope for an expected end. When you know him as your Lord and Savior, you can say that in spite of what it looks like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what anybody tells you, you have hope. Amen? Amen. So have you ever received a bad diagnosis from your doctor? How would you feel if God spoke to you and said that you're going to die? So set your house in order. Hezekiah had his strengths and his weaknesses. In 2 Kings 18, it tells us that he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. In his prayer, Hezekiah reminds the Lord that he had always been faithful and did what was pleasing to the Lord. He brought about a civil and religious reforms. He had a personal relationship with God, and as we see in our text, he had a prayer life. Over a 100-year period of Judah's history, he was the only faithful king, and he made a difference during his time. I'm not saying that he was perfect, but I am saying that he loved the Lord. Put yourself in Hezekiah's shoes. How would you feel if God said, "You are going to die"? Would you be depressed? Would you be angry, hurt, sad, shocked, confused, hopeless maybe? There is an Italian proverb that says, hope is the last thing ever lost. Let me encourage you to never give up on hope, because the God we serve is sovereign. It's not over until God says it's over. Think back over your life. Have you ever felt hopeless? Some of us may not have to think too far back. You may have thought, what's the point of getting out of the bed? I have more aches than I can count. What's the point of getting dressed? The kids at school are going to laugh at what I'm wearing. What's the point of going to work? My boss is going to mistreat me. What's the point of cooking dinner? They will not appreciate it. The enemy wants us to get stuck on the negative. Please don't allow him to trick you. There is hope. If you look at the news, it can appear that there is no hope. We see senseless killings, wars, sex trafficking, hate crimes, kidnapping, and so much more. But there is hope. We listen to those around us with various diseases and illnesses, and if we're not careful, we can buy into the thought that there is no hope. But today, I want to remind you that there is hope. We must not look through our natural eyes, but instead look through the eyes of Jesus and see the possibilities. In our text, Hezekiah became deathly ill. Yes, Hezekiah, the king that trusted the Lord, the faithful king, the obedient king, and yes, the proud king, in 2 Chronicles 32. He became deathly ill. God sent his prophet Isaiah to visit the king and take him a message. The message is clear. The Lord says, set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. Straight to the point. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to die. To add insult to injury, you will not recover this illness. There it is. God has spoken. He has made it plain that this illness that Hezekiah had, it was going to take him out of this world. This came from God. So we know it was an accurate diagnosis. If it would have been from our doctor, we could have gotten a second or third opinion. But from God, his word is his word. What would you have done? Would you have gone into the woe is me attitude? Would you have given up and said that God doesn't change his mind? There's no hope for me? Can I suggest to you that our all-knowing God already knows the outcome? God's character does not change, but he is free to change his actions when dealing with situations. Can you say mercy? God is a merciful God, and he can show mercy to whom he chooses. We are all tested to build our character and increase our faith in God. Can you imagine what was going through Hezekiah's mind? I can't say what I would have done in Hezekiah's situation, but I do like what he did. In verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Cancer is running rapid. The 5-year relative survival rate of stage 1 breast cancer is 99%. There is hope. The relative survival rate of localized and regional prostate cancer is 99%. There is hope. Can you imagine what was going through Hezekiah's mind? The Message Bible reads that Hezekiah turned from Isaiah and faced God praying. We see that he turned his face to God in prayer. He prayed, remembering, Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Hezekiah is saying, I walk before you without hypocrisy. At this point, he was humble. He knew how the kings before him had ruled and allowed idolatry. Then he broke down and he wept bitterly. One commentator said that he wept bitterly, not because of his pending death, but for the fear that idolatry would creep back in and God's name would be dishonored by the people again. I am sure many of you have fallen on your knees and turned your face to the Lord and cried out to the Lord and wept bitterly because of a situation that seemed like there was no hope for a positive outcome. He got the Lord's attention. Prayer is a wonderful tool or gift when believers use it properly. Psalm 34 and 17 says that the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from their troubles. Verse 4 tells us that before Isaiah left the middle courtyard, God gave him another message for Hezekiah. Go back, tell the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. Do you know that God hears our prayers? He sees our tears. There's a scripture that tells us that our tears are held in a bottle. God knows. He knows everything that we're going through, everything that we're dealing with. And all we have to do is turn our face to the wall where God is, and he will hear and he will answer. If anyone has ever told you to waste your time praying, not to waste your time praying, I say tell them to kick rocks. They have no idea what they're talking about. Prayer gets God's attention. And it doesn't take a long time. Isaiah was still in the middle courtyard. There was an urgency in Hezekiah's prayer. And the Lord decided to turn Isaiah around, and he turned Hezekiah's sickness around. In our text, we find that the Lord made some promises to Hezekiah. We all know that we can trust the Lord. Amen. We might not always be able to trust each other, but we can always trust the maker of heaven and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the great I am, the Prince of peace, the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, our light in a darkness. Yes, we can trust him. He will never let us down. So there is hope. And there are three promises that God made to Hezekiah this day. I will heal you. In verse 5, I will heal you. And 3 days from now, you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. Because of his faith, repentance, and prayer, God decided to work a miracle in Hezekiah's illness. God is the creator of medication. Isaiah made an ointment from figs, and Hezekiah's servants were to spread it over the bowl. There was nothing magical about this ointment, but there was something miraculous about the power of the Lord that was in that ointment. As his children, we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, power to speak to the mountain and it will move. Because of his power, miraculous signs will follow those who believe. Mark 16 tells us that believers will drive out demons in his name. They will speak in new tongues, handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt him. We will be able to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. This is all possible because of the Holy Spirit living in the believer. When we operate in his power, all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible. I am sure if we took testimony time now, we would have many of you to say that God healed you from something. Cancer, heart disease, mental illness, jealousy, hypocrisy, envy. The list can go on and on about what God has healed us from. In Matthew 7 and 8, he tells us to keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. For everyone who asks, receive. God knows our heart and our motives when we ask. That's why it's important to spend time with him so that when we ask, we're asking according to his will. Amen? Hezekiah had lived an honest life before the Lord. His heart was in the right place, and he lived to please God. Our Lord is a jealous God, and we cannot put anyone or anything in his place. Hezekiah knew this. Instead of whining to Isaiah, he went straight to the Lord because he knew that only God could fix his problem. Anybody got problems God need to fix? All we got to do is tell him all about it. Hezekiah was the sickness to death. What is yours? Jesus is interceding on our behalf. Take whatever it is to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. He knows all about you and he cares for you. Matthew 7 also reads that if sinful people know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? So there was hope because God promised that he would heal him. My second point, there is hope because God promised him 15 years. In verse 6, I will add 15 years to your life. Hezekiah got the attention of the Lord because of his sincerity in his prayer. He didn't beg Isaiah. Instead, he turned his back to Isaiah and his face to God. Again, this didn't take long. Isaiah was not even halfway across the courtyard when God spoke to him and said, "You go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, and tell him I have heard his prayer and I have seen his tears." God knows who you are. He said, "Go back to the leader of my people." Amen? There is hope. Thank God for obedience. Isaiah did exactly what God said. How many of us would have been like Jonah and ran the other way? Thought that maybe he was getting what he deserved. Instead of death, God is going to give him 15 more years to live. It's easy to forget what the Lord has done and go contrary to his will. In 2 Chronicles 32, it tells us that it would seem that Hezekiah, he got a little proud, a little puffed up. He tried to impress others, and instead of giving credit to God for his blessings, he kind of took it for himself. That's a dangerous place to be. His victory quickly turned into pride. He developed an ego issue, right? Some of us have that from time to time. What would you do with an extra 15 years? Would you make amends for those you've wronged? Would you be a better husband, wife, child, mother, father, friend? We can count on two things. We live and we die. Everything in between is governed by the Lord, but a lot of what happens is due to the choices that we make. 15 years is a lot of time. A lot of good can be done with 15 years. We don't know how much time we have left because the next second is not promised. But when you look at your life, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see a child who honored his mother and his father? Do you feed the hungry, give drink to thirsty, invite a stranger into your home, clothe the naked? Do you care for the sick or visit those in prison? 15 years, a lot of time to make a difference. What a difference will make. What difference will you make today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? When we put God first and obey his commands, we will make a difference, whether it's 15 seconds, minutes, hours, days, or years. There is hope. There was hope for Ezekiah because God, he added 15 years to his life. My third and final point, there was hope for Hezekiah because God told him, I will deliver and defend you. In verse 6, it reads, I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David. It appears that this account is not in chronological order in our Bible. When you have time, read 2 Kings 18, verse 13 through 19, verse 37. The Cliff Note version is, the king of Assyria attacked the outlying fortress cities of Judah and captured them. King Hezekiah sent a message to the Assyrian king admitting that he had done wrong, and he offered a ransom of 11 tons of silver and a ton of gold to save the people. This upset the king of Assyria. He sent a delegation and a massive army to Jerusalem to demand that the city surrender. He used fear tactics, offering them things he knew he would not deliver. Isn't that just what the enemy does? He tempts believers with things that sound and look good, but in the end, is destruction. He makes empty promises. The faithful Hezekiah could not hear God. Have you ever been a place where it seemed like God was silent? Don't give up. There's hope. Keep talking to him. He's silent for the moment, but God will speak. He seemed to be silent. There is power in worship. Hezekiah and his men, they tore their clothes and they went to the temple of the Lord. Hezekiah reached out to the prophet Isaiah to get a word from the Lord. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid is in the Bible 365 times. That's one time for every day of the year that you can remind yourself when you wake up in the morning. God says, don't be afraid. Amen? These words from the Lord should calm his children and give us confidence in his ability to defend and deliver us. As promised, God delivered and defended them. He does the same for us today. Our faith helps us to be prepared for when trials and temptations come knocking at our door. Our faith looks at God and knows that there is hope during this trying time. Look at how God moved. The king of Assyria returned to his land and fell by the sword, the one that Hezekiah was bowing down to, the one that he sent the ransom to. God promised that he would deliver them out of that, and he did. There is hope because God promised to deliver and defend them.
Yes.
There was hope for Noah when the world would be destroyed, but God saved him and his family. There was hope for Abraham when he trusted God and left the familiar to go to a land that God had promised. There was hope for Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, after being barren for years. There was hope for Isaac when God provided a ram in the bush. There was hope for Moses when Pharaoh was killing baby boys. There was hope for the woman with the alabaster, a box of ointment, and the woman at the well. There was hope for Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days. There was hope for the blind man that was sitting at the pool. And there is hope for you. Hope and trust go hand in hand. When we trust God, there is always hope. Trust him to heal you, to add time to your life, to deliver and defend you. That is the God that we serve. Are you hopeless or hopeful today? Think back to your prayer of repentance. How did you feel when you realized that once you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you would become a new creation? How did you feel when you were told that Jesus took your sins so that you could have life and have it more abundantly? How did it make you feel when the Holy Spirit came into your heart? Before salvation, I can say that it seemed hopeless. But once I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I knew that there was hope. Not just for me, but for whosoever will. Amen.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.